So I had dental work done today.
I was afraid that we wouldn't record today because of it. Yeah.
And an interesting turn of events happened.
It seemed fine, you know. Normally afterwards, people are got some big old puffy cheeks, but you look fine.
No, modern procedures have gone a long way, but speaking of procedures, so I consider myself to be a feminist. What? I believe that women and men are equal in most fields. There are a few things they're better at, a few things we're better at, it's how it goes.
Right.
But for the most part, there's no greater than on either end of these things.
Right.
So it was very difficult for me to encounter the very first time a female colleague was unable to do the job that their male counterpart could, according to the dentists themselves.
They were just unable to do it.
They were just unable to do it. And it's not because she was a woman.
What is the problem here?
Yeah. The problem being not enough forearm strength. Apparently my bones are too fucking dense, so she wasn't able to yank my tooth out properly. And so that shit shattered and they had to do a whole bunch of extra work. And I was supposed to get two teeth yanked out today, and they only did the one because she said, and I quote, "I'm not strong enough to pull your other tooth out. We have to get my male colleague to do this."
I mean, you don't go into dentistry like thinking like I should make sure I'm as strong as possible.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like this is—it's a strange thing. It's a strange problem to have because
but that thing was on there.
Apparently, I guess I'm built different, dude. Shit,
he's got Superman bones.
There's at least one guy though, you know. Who had to have.
Yeah.
That was his goal in dentistry.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have the world record of just yanking those out.
I'm Mr. Tooth.
Like he has like his grip on his forceps. There's like a grip strength measurer on his fucking equipment about how he's gripping it. Like
he's doing training every day where he has his pliers that he's using to pick up like giant kettlebells. He's like
And you'd have the aura of the flower man, just overly serious for like no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
As he's talking about like yanking out your teeth, he's still flexing with his fucking...
You must be truly desperate to come to me.
And this is the guy they have to get my tooth out.
Yeah.
Everyone else won't do it.
It's simply
not strong enough.
He's got the Sword in the Stone style teeth.
Crazy problem to have.
I call him the Wisdom Hunter.
And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Sanfair.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mark.
And today we're going to go back into some more One Piece.
Yes, we have the Alabasta arc finally. We made it to Alabasta. And this is what I consider to be the end of like the second part of One Piece. This is the end of the second big story beat. Mm. And as far as like when you're working on your sequels, I feel like the examining the second half of them getting onto the Grand Line all the way up through Alabasta, they nailed it. Because this is still a very contained, solid continuation sequel piece.
Mm. The next logical step.
Yeah, exactly. Because the best advice you can get for writing a sequel is identifying what works in your current work and then what is the next step for those things to take. I think we talked about it briefly a while ago about Die Hard. Die Hard 2, he couldn't then just now also the cops believe him.
Right.
No, otherwise it wouldn't be a Die Hard.
Yeah.
In fact, the cops have to extra not believe him, and there has to be even more going against him for him to die harder.
Yeah, fair enough. That is how Die Hard works. That is the formula.
By the last Die Hard that I saw, like, the bad guys hacked the U.S. government and were, firing drones and helicopters and things at him.
It escalated.
Yeah.
That was a great, like, you know, where it was like, right before the 2010s, right?
Yeah.
When that came out?
Yeah.
And it was just fucking, man, they tried to make hacking seem like it's...
All powerful.
Wizardry.
But they made it sorcery.
But they make it seem as though it's like you gotta have like a crack squad of like the baddest dudes on the internet or whatever the fuck. Like
the baddest dudes on the internet.
It was just silly.
Remember the Warlock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith?
No, I'll never. Was it him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wasn't really familiar with him at the time, but damn. Specifically his line when he calls him up because it was just like, well, how do we know which one's his house? It would be the one with the lights on.
Yeah.
And then he, like, you know, does, like, the web whatever the fuck, Skype call. And then the warlock, he was just like, I'm rocking three generators just to keep my
setup going. Yeah,
my CC, I think he called it, or his command center, you know, going.
Yeah.
God bless. And that was just such like a...
But they also had to get a dig in at hackers by making it so that his secret base is his mom's house.
Yeah. Got to keep it a stroke.
Yeah, we don't want you to respect this man too much.
Yeah, this guy who can single-handedly interfere with, like...
governments.
Yeah, the entire, like, FBI database or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still have to make sure he's a loser compared to our boy Bruce Willis, who has all the powers of being bald and just sort of talking like this.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah. As if that's...
Anything.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, no, you're not Bruce Willis, you know. Especially right now, he's going through a lot. But,
bless his heart.
Even at that time for that movie, he was still already, like, old Willis.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was... Twilight years were setting in for the film career.
Point being, that's how sequels work. Things need to escalate further and further. And I feel like, through the Alabasta arc, this is the perfect... segment of escalation. Where last we left off, they had gone through Little Garden and Chopper's Drum Island. Chopper's now with them. And the very next thing that happens is they are going to Alabasta because they get informed. By the way, there's like a newspaper system that like will deliver to pirate ships in the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what?
This is actually pretty important.
What are they doing? Seagulls or some shit?
Yeah.
Literally seagulls?
Human intelligent seeming seagulls who have...
I said that as a joke.
They've got little goggles.
As a thing I'm stealing to be funny. Wouldn't it be funny with seagulls? With seagulls.
It's the worldwide like press. Like,
yeah. There's a worldwide press run by a man who like lives in a giant airship.
Oh.
And he just has a newspaper that, I mean, like...
As you do.
Yeah. They're on the Grand Line.
You'd wonder why seagulls, but it makes a lot of sense.
The sea. That's why.
Yeah, the sea. Seagulls. Sea.
But, like, they bring Nami a newspaper. And the newspaper is also, like, the plot-relevant news section. It's not just a newspaper. It's, like, specifically there's a section that it's, like, this is going to matter to you. Because wow, they're, like... Funny. The rebellion in Alabasta is merely days away. It's going to be like a massive amount of bloodshed because the half of the royal army defected from the royalty faction and they're now part of the rebellion. And it's a good damn thing that they got their doctor here now because they gotta hurry there post haste. And as they're sailing, there is a massive like cloud of steam on the ocean rising up and. Nami explains, like, second grade science to the boys because she's like, that's where new islands come from. They don't, like, fall out of the sky or anything. And Luffy's like, wee-wee. They come from volcanoes? Wow.
Oh, man, that's funny.
But she's like, yeah, that's just, like, steam vent from, like, a underwater volcano. We need to go through it, unfortunately. And from the other side, there's Mr. Two's ship. Who is currently on the lookout. They're trying to find Mr. Three because they went to Little Garden to go, you know, kill his ass. And they couldn't find him. So now they're like, okay, we're going to check every island between Little Garden and Alabasta for him because he's on the run now, apparently. And they're like, oh, there's a big steam cloud up ahead. What do we do? And he's like, go right through it. It'll be fine. And he's like standing, ha ha ha, on the mast. And as they're passing through it, their boats almost hit each other, but they don't see each other at all.
Oh, wow.
And they're screaming in chaos, and then the Straw Hats come out the other side, and Mr. Two, Bon Clay, is just sort of, like, clinging to the side of their vessel, like, please don't let me fall in the ocean, I can't swim, devil fruit powers! And they bring him up, and importantly, Vivi and Sanji are inside right now.
Okay.
And everyone else sees what appears to be a man with makeup and a funny outfit, and they bring him on board, and he's like, I can't, like, thank you enough. You guys are, like, you guys are true numero uno, number one G's, you're the best, and I want to be your friend, and they're like, we want to be your friend as well, because you have a vibe to you. You've got it.
And I don't know what it is, but you, sir, you've got it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, let me show you my trick, because it's really cool. This is my devil fruit power. and he can touch you with one hand, and then when he touches his that hand to his face, he can turn into your face and your body. Like, he fully transforms into you.
Oh, wow.
And then if he touches his face with his other hand, he turns back into himself. And then he can cycle through everybody he's ever done. And he's like, I can be anybody. And he goes through everybody on the ship.
Why would they let him do that? Why would they let him do that? They just got tricked. They're bros.
They're literally dancing around like, this guy's the coolest. And he's like, I love you guys as well.
What? Okay, well.
No, he's genuinely doing a thing.
They're friendly. They're just friends.
Okay, sure.
And then...
I don't buy it for a second.
And then his boat comes along and he's like, that's my boat, that's my guys. I have like this whole crazy mission I need to do. But like, if we ever see each other again, I want you guys to know I love you all and you're the best and we are friends forever. And they like have like a tearful goodbye as they're like, you're the best, Von Clay. And he's like, you're the best, guys whose names I didn't get. And then as he is like... Their boats are passing and fully, like, leaving each other. Vivi, like, comes out and is like, that was Mr. Two's ship. And they're like, who's Mr. Two? And she's like, from the Baroque Works? The bad guys? He's famously the face-stealing man who can impersonate anybody once he touches their face. And they're all like, oh, fuck, he touched all of our faces.
Yeah.
And she's like, why would you let that happen?
Yeah, I could have told you that.
What's wrong with you guys?
I saw that fucking coming a mile away. Oh, look, you could transform into us?
They just thought it was cool.
Look how cool that is. Wow. Really?
Because at first, you know, because he's like a, you know, interesting-looking ballerina-esque man.
Yeah.
And so he starts doing, like, you know, undo, like the ballerina moves, and then, like, pretty sure Luffy and someone else starts doing it with him.
Yeah, they're trying to do it, and he's, like, giving them pointers, and they're having fun.
And then, like, after a minute, he's just like, I can do this also, this other really cool thing. Yeah. Check it out. But Dujin just starts, like, doing the face thing. They're just like, that's fucking awesome. He's like, right?
We're bros forever, and I will never forget this friendship.
This is how con men work. They build excitement. They make you feel like that you're on their side. And then, yeah, they just fucking go to have a field day with you.
Well, once Vivi, like, confirms, like, that was stupid, and now any one of us could be replaced, you assholes, Zoro, uncharacteristically, comes up with the solution right away. He's like, okay, all of us on our left arm, I will draw a symbol, and then we will cover it with a bandage. And then if there is any sort of question as to whether or not one of us is who we say we are, we, like, confront the person, and then the thing is, you take off the bandage to show the symbol. You don't just show the bandage. Like, you gotta fully do that. And everyone is like Zoro. That is, like, an incredibly well-reasoned, like, solution here. Are you dying? Like, what's going on? And Zoro's like, fuck you guys, whatever. And they move on. They get to Alabasta. And also, it doesn't really come up here, but I feel like it's going to be important. I feel like it matters for later that Sanji is also not seen at all by any of these people. They have no idea who he is. When we get to Alabasta, first of all, thing to let you know, Alabasta is apparently pretty important in the larger lore of One Piece. Don't know why, but it's going to come up later.
Okay.
It's also a desert. It is a massive desert place, just sand.
It's definitely not Egypt.
It's not Egypt.
It's the get it out of my head?
Yeah, so get that out of your head now.
Okay.
It
just looks a lot like it.
Oh, okay.
There is also, like, the royal guards are specifically guys who have, like, the zone devil fruits to turn into animals. One of them is a falcon, and one of them is a jackal. And this isn't Egypt.
No.
So don't worry about that.
None of that.
Totally different.
We find out very early that Crocodile is here to do his Utopia plan. That's what the Baroque Works are for. Essentially, he has been fomenting a revolution in Alabasta by manipulating the rain with an illegal, like, cloud seeding powder called dance powder.
The literal rain.
Yeah, the literal rain. Like,
not like the rain of the...
Not the rain of the king. That's the rain that falls from the sky... He has enacted a drought by manipulating, like, weather patterns. And conspicuously, the drought has lasted almost exactly as long as Crocodile has lived here. And no one put that together. Because every time pirates or somebody shows up, like, we're taking over this here port town now. he shows up and beats their asses, and everyone is like, thank you, Crocodile. And he's like, no problem. I'm the greatest. Everyone That's loves funny. Me. You all have free meals at my casino. Because he runs a massive casino called Brain Base, which, yeah.
Ironic name. That's fun.
And he takes the loot that all those
Oh, yeah. He also, have. Like, is like, and I need to take all of this for... I work for the Marines, as you all know. I'm one of the pirates that does that. So I need to take all the things that they stole. And I'll be turning it over to the proper authorities, don't you worry. And they're like, of course you will. We trust you implicitly, Crocodile. Yeah. Because
they're like trying to chew on a rock.
It's yeah.
like, God bless you, Crocodile.
Bless you, sir.
It's fucking silly.
He also, like, frames the king for this whole, like, weather manipulation thing, because everywhere else in Alabasta is, like, in a massive drought for the past several years, except for Alubarna, which is the capital, which has rains pretty regularly still, which, you know, doesn't look good. And then he also hired some guys to, like, while moving a cart, it just, like, topples over, and it's, like, full of the dance powder. And they're like, oh, no, we dropped all of our illegal rain powder. We have to get this to the king ASAP. I hope nobody overhears me. And everyone's like, we did overhear you. The king is a bastard man. Ah!
Yeah. Natural.
And Crocodile also, importantly, chose Alabasta. He has a Logia devil fruit. That's the devil fruit where you become an element. What do you think Crocodile becomes?
Sand.
He does. He becomes sand.
Yeah, God bless.
He is a sand human. He can fly. Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Just struck my... I was trying to be... Okay, sorry. Damn, I ruined my own joke. Do you think just because he materializes out of nowhere in the desert and then he leaves behind the desiccated corpses of pirates that he's made of sand...
That's ridiculous.
Circumstantial at best, Tony.
You know, what the fuck was I thinking, man?
Yeah. Crocodile also has Would've the
hit
funniest...
harder if I didn't hit my fucking microphone. Yeah. Sorry.
Crocodile also has the funniest style of any pirate so far, because...
He's just a mafia boss.
He dresses like a mafia boss with, like, the skin of the Grinch as a fur coat.
Oh, man.
Like a big green fur coat.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That he wears over his shoulders at all times.
Skin him a Grinch.
And then, like, a massive golden hook for a left hand.
Is it, like, is it his left hand, or is it just the hook? Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has a big pirate hook hand, but it's like gold and awesome, and he just is always grimacing with a scar across his face, and they're like, you're the best, we love you, Crocodile! So, Crocodile, in this desert with his, he also has the ability, the hand that he has left, if he touches anything with water in it, he can instantly desiccate it, just absorb all the moisture out of it. Pretty important. Presumably, the left hand, back when he had it, could release it. Who can say? He's a big deal. He runs his rain-based casino in the like largest oasis in this whole country. And when the straw...
So what fruit does he have?
Sand fruit.
And sand dictates you being able to suck up water?
Some of them have bonus powers like that, yes.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure. It just needs to fit, like...
Theme.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Smoke can't turn into a snake and grab you, but Smoker totally gets Luffy, like, three times with that move. Luffy can't resist it at all. He just gets got every time.
Fair enough.
It's,
Who am I to question the nature of the devil fruits?
Yeah. What are you, the devil? You don't know.
If I had to, like, try to give, like, an actual answer to that, it's... Like, it's not that you just become that element. It's you're now a human made of that element.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're still a guy, but, like, you also have the properties of that thing. It could completely turn into that thing, but, like, in every stage in between, basically.
Yeah, an important aspect of the power system of One Piece is devil fruits don't give you the power of anything. They change what you are. He's not a sand, like, a person with sand powers. He's a sand human now.
Yeah, but I don't understand how being a sand human dictates being able to control moisture.
Sand is very dry.
It's, yeah. Like,
that's all I got. He can make more sand with it by desiccating anything.
I tried to mean, what I was trying to say is that, like, there's still, like, people, and that, like, you know, they still need to, like, eat and, like, drink water and
yeah,
like they're just not like sand now and like good forever, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like they still have like all the needs of a regular ass human being.
Yeah. When the Straw Hats first get into Alabasta, they pull up to the port, and Vivi, her immediate plan, she's like, "I'm the princess. I'm going to go to the rebel base up in Yuba, and I'm going to tell their leader, don't do your rebellion, because this is all a big misunderstanding," which she thinks is like a pretty reasonable plan for reasons she doesn't quite divulge yet. And Luffy, because he is like on a 10-chapter lag on thinking things through, is like, sure, fine, whatever.
Based.
So the actual like geography of this island is kind of important. On the island, it's sort of split in half by like a massive river. And on one side, if you go 2 days north through the desert, you'll get to the capital, Alubarna. And then on the western side, if you go 2 days north, you'll get to Rain Base, which is Crocodile's thing. And then between Rain Base, and they're like mirrored on either side. Rain Base and Albarna are essentially like in the same spot on opposite sides. And they're about like half a day between each other if you could like go on a straight line between them.
Okay.
They're going to go to Yuba, which is just below Rain Base, because that's where the rebels are all hanging out. And they first go to a town to get like supplies for their desert trip, and they get to meet somebody who's looking for Luffy. That would be Ace, his brother, showed up.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, "Luffy, it's me." Well, first they find him and they think he's dead.
Oh.
Because he was eating at a restaurant and then he passed out into his own food. And there's like a scorpion or something that like, if it gets you, or a fruit that if you eat it in the desert, like when you're thirsty, like 2 days later you die and then you just start to exude poison.
Oh man.
And so
One Piece just has all these fucking hazards, dude. Holy shit.
One Piece is great.
It varies by island.
This
is the fruit that if you eat you become a poisoned bush. Like the fuck?
Yeah. You'll die and then poison will emanate from your body. So nobody's bothering the passed out pirate.
It's desert island, not Egypt, you know?
Yeah.
These things happen.
I guess, dude. Holy shit.
When Luffy goes to, like, go get food, he sort of ignores the passed out man at the bar that everyone is like, that guy's dying. And he's like, I need food immediately. And then somebody else that we remember from a while ago is there as well. Smoker is there, and he's like, I finally got you, Straw Hat.
Oh, wow. Oh, shit. Damn. Whoa.
And then he looks right next to Luffy, and he's like, is that the second division captain of the Whitebeard Pirates, Fire Fist Ace? Why are you both here? And then Ace finally wakes up and is like, oh, shit. Hey, everybody, how's it going? Luffy, I'm so happy to see you. And they have like a brief reunion right there. And he's like, Luffy, go ahead and start running because I have to go fight the smoke guy for a minute. And Smoker is like, what are you doing here? And Ace is like, I'm on like a side quest thing that's going to matter in like 300 chapters. Don't worry about it right now. I'm hunting Blackbeard. And he's like, I don't know who that is. And he's like, well, it doesn't really matter because you're smoke and I'm fire. I'm pretty sure that I win. A lot of devil fruits have like a rock, paper, scissors quality to them like that, where if you just have the better version of that fruit, their powers don't work on you.
Mm.
Or, you know, if you like a specific thing that like obviously counters it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, one I'm waiting for that I know happens because why wouldn't it? Lightning through fruit. Oh, he's such a big deal. He's made of lightning. How do we beat him? And Luffy's made of rubber.
Yeah.
I know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If Oda didn't do that, he's bad at writing.
It's really funny when that does happen because Luffy doesn't put that together.
Of course he doesn't.
Luffy is
They're not going to bring it up once.
Luffy the whole time is like, he's really dangerous. I'm going to have to really, really fucking get him.
I bet they gas it up like it's going to be a big altercation. And then the second he hits Luffy, it's like, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I'd write that.
It was great.
That's how I'd write that.
But like Luffy's reaction is just like, well, everyone's worried about it. He's such a bitch.
Yeah. And then, you know,
like, he's completely missing the point. That's good.
He doesn't understand, like, you know,
science,
like conductivity of like materials. You know,
someone would explain it to Luffy, and Luffy's response would be, "Shut up, science bitch!
Yeah, yeah. Shut up, science bitch! You can't even make I more smarter."
Yeah.
But Ace basically tells Luffy, "Like, oh, you guys go start running. I'm gonna go do a thing," and they rush back to their ship because they're going to sail to the other side of the river so they can go up to Yuba. But when they get out to their ship, I mean, Smoker knew they were there, and then he also called in that the second division captain of the Whitebeard Pirate Fleet is here. So every Marine in the area showed up. This place is swarming with Marines in the harbor. And the Straw Hats, it doesn't look like it's going to go too well for them.
Yeah, it sounds pretty rough.
Until Ace shows up and is like, oh no, I'm just going to, my powers are fire. I'm going to rocket boost you over to the other side. And also it's going to blow them up.
Pretty good move.
It was a great move. And then he hands Luffy a piece of paper and is like, take this. It'll matter in 6 arcs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Ace continues the trend of people just having sick one-person dinghies.
Yes. Every person who has a boat or something powered by their devil fruit rocks so hard. He has like a surfboard boat that has an engine in the bottom that he just fires like his flame out of his heels into, and it just rockets him forward.
That's sick.
And that's just, yeah.
That's just his mode of movement.
He has to get around by himself, you know? Just,
rocket boat.
Just cruising.
Rocket boat. I love it.
Ace is very cool. He also has like a really conspicuous knife that when I first read it, I was like, that knife is super gonna matter. It doesn't. It's just like his favorite, I guess, or something, because it's just on his hip and he's like, sick, right? And that's it. It doesn't come up again, so don't even think about it.
Okay.
It's just
my just his knife.
Yeah, it's just his knife. In case he needs to knife something.
That's kind of Ace's whole outfit. Like, he looks cool, but it's just sort of like,
yeah.
If you're looking for any deeper meaning, it's not there.
Presumably, in like the little Ace side story thing that got made, it would be like expounded on. I haven't read that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the other side, and they're gonna go up to Yuba. But first, there's a bunch of these fucking mean ass dugongs in the river.
A dugong?
Yeah, really? You know, like a pissed off manatee.
Yeah.
But they Usopp walks up to them, and they put up their dukes, and Usopp's like,
oh shit, they're ready to scrap?
Usopp's like,
I thought you meant they were like barking at him. They're like ready to fight?
Yeah, yo. And Usopp's like, look at how cute they are. And they beat the shit out of Usopp. They're called Kung Fu Dugongs.
Yeah. Look at how cute they are. Ah!
You can almost expect on every island to have some sort of weird animal that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like Drum Island had the bunny yetis.
Yeah, that surf down like avalanches and
but
shit.
But why are the dugongs violent?
Well,
it's hard out here in the desert.
Yeah,
apparently.
You're a dugong.
You
right?
Gotta be ready to swing. So Luffy, because he's like, you don't get to beat up my friends, punches like the head dugong down, just like beats him up real fast.
Oh, shit.
The moral of the story, children, is that you gotta stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Wait, I forgot about this. It gets better.
So Vivi is like, wait, you can't do that. And he's like, why not? It was actually easier than I thought. Usopp made them look real tough. And she's like, no, they are really tough compared to like a regular guy. But if you beat them up, then now they're your disciples and they'll follow you. And we're going into the desert and they're water creatures. And he's like, that is a problem. And so he turns to them and he's like, you all need to stay here. And they, being dugongs, they don't speak Japanese.
No.
They just sort of like do some karate moves at him. And he's like, that is pretty sick. And I do love you guys. But you need to stay here. And this is where we get Chopper reveals that, by the way, you guys didn't ask, but like I'm an animal. I can talk to them.
Does he just speak animal?
Yeah.
That's racist. I don't like this. Not all animals speak the same language, Oda. That's very bigoted of you.
He's also a genius. He's a genius animal.
Okay, I can buy that Chopper is fluent in all animal because he's a genius. Yeah. I'll buy that.
But, also, the animals are a tad more intelligent than you expect.
They
to
are.
Be.
They, in fact...
These are kung fu dugongs.
They do.
Well, yeah, but a reindeer shouldn't speak dugong. I don't think...
But
whatever.
There's also a camel with a lot of attitude.
Yeah. He only lets women ride him, and so Nami and Vivi hop on his back, and they're like, well, hurry up, boys, and everyone else is carrying the shit. They're like, you guys are kind of being assholes right now. This is a desert. But,
So the Mio Chopper translates for this camel, who's really cocky,
yeah,
and an asshole.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But Chopper tells the dugongs, like, you guys have to stay here, you'll die in the desert. Don't worry, he's not abandoning you. And the dugongs say that they're willing to listen to this because they can tell everyone else on board is also Luffy's disciples, which makes them brothers. to which Usopp is like, I don't know that I agree with that interpretation.
Shut up, brother disciple.
Yeah.
Before we beat you again.
So they go up, they leave, and they are now headed to Yuba, and that is where they meet the camel. And there's a bunch of animals in the desert who... One Piece does a thing that I don't see in a lot of other things very well, which is a casual bastardry that, like, you don't get to see in a lot of things. Like, there are these birds that Luffy saw, like, a bunch of birds were just, like, dying in the desert. And he's Chopper will know what to do. And so he drops his bag so he can, like, run real fast to go get Chopper. And then Chopper's like, well, let's go. And then Vivi's like, well, they weren't, like, crane-looking herons, were they? And he's like, that's exactly what they were. They were beautiful. They looked so majestic, and they were so sick. And she's like, they weren't sick at all. They're just assholes. Those birds, everyone knows that those birds will lie down and pretend to be sick and then steal all your shit. And then Luffy turns around, and they're just drinking all the water that he brought.
Oh, man.
And he, like, tries to chase them, and they're so fast. They're not sick at all. They're so healthy.
Bastard.
So they lose basically all their supplies, and they when they finally make it up to Yuba, thank you. They find out that the rebels, in preparation for their attack, they moved their base. It's actually back at that first town you were in, and they're like, "Are you kidding me right now?" And they do the math real fast, and Vivi is like, okay, nobody panic. We can still make it there. We're going to have to really rush it, and it's going to be hard. But I can still make it there, and I think we can stop them. And Luffy, at this point, has his brain lag is caught up. And he tells her, no, we're not doing that. That's stupid, actually. And she's like, Luffy, you don't understand the complicated geopolitics. And he's like, I don't think you understand. Because the situation is... I was told that Crocodile is a bastard-ass dick, and I am going to go beat him up. And if any part of your plan involves abandoning that goal, you're not going to save your kingdom. Like, he's the one that's doing all of this. It's a whole fucking thing. And they have a bit of a disagreement, but she comes to the conclusion, you're right. That is what we have to do. We have to go stop Crocodile, because Crocodile is the one that's causing all of this.
Yeah.
And so they, instead of diverting all the way back and maybe making it there, they definitely can make it up to Rain Base. And, you know, they head over there, and they end up causing, like, a small riot, because they're like, okay, we're going to go, we're going to, like, storm the casino, and then Luffy's like, and that's when I'm going to get his ass. And then immediately... Smoker is already there, because he has a motorcycle powered by superpowers, and he can get places really fast. And he's like, I knew you'd be coming here, Straw Hat Luffy. And Luffy's like, fuck! And so they come up with a plan quickly. They're going to split into teams, and they're going to go different paths, and then they're going to all converge and break into the casino. And that devolves into a riot almost immediately.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did something of a good plan.
It was effective in that they made it.
Mm.
However, it did result in everyone being captured.
Oh, there you go.
And
because doesn't he have also, like, so I mean, I drew the comparison between Crocodile and the Claw. Doesn't he have Inspector Gadget style traps?
Yeah.
In the, like, the floor just...
Yeah, he just drops them into a cage made out of sea stone.
Oh, there you go.
Which...
He's just a more badass the Claw.
Is this when they introduce Sea Prism Stone?
This is the introduction of the Sea Prism Stone,
okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Because they are informed that it is as strong or stronger than steel. It saps the powers out of Devil Fruit users. Smoker also is like, that's why I was able to beat the shit out of you with my... I think it's called a Jete. That's his big weapon.
Okay.
His big pokey stick.
And... Luffy is like, the fiend! Well, it's okay, I'm still super strong. And then he goes to punch it, and he's like, my strength! How could this be happening? And he's like, it's Sea Prism Stone. And Zoro is like, and it's also as hard as metal, which is also what my swords are made out of, so I can't cut it. In fact, the only person that could really handle this is Sanji. Unfortunately, Chopper and Sanji didn't make it into the casino before the casino got put on lockdown. They're stuck outside. So, Crocodile, because he's a dick, basically tells Vivi, if you want to save your friends, because she's outside of the cage, if you want to save your friends, this is the key to the cage. And he throws it down into his big evil gator pit, where previously Mr. Three had shown up and was like, I'm back, I'm sorry, I failed the mission. And he's like, don't be sorry, be fed to alligators. And he fed him to alligators. He got his
ass. And he's got like the, basically the fucking, the one from the Peter Pan movie, the giant ass.
Yeah.
Oh, crocodile.
They're called banana crocodiles. They have a small banana-shaped growth on their head. And they're the size of a school bus.
Jesus fucking Christ, what do you mean?
He has
it's
like...
hard out here in the desert.
He has like 10 of them.
Wow.
Because Rain Base is a massive oasis where it can support them, I guess. And, he feeds the key and he's like, if you want the key, you're going to have to go find that crocodile and get the key out of it. And while you're doing that, I'm going to go ahead because my rebellion thing is going to be kicking off any minute here. By the way, you were totally right. I'm the bad guy. Blah, blah, blah. And Vivi is armed with only a tiny blade that is mounted to her pinky.
Okay.
And what we have seen.
Menacing.
The ability to lose every fight she's ever been in.
There you go. Pretty good move.
Yeah, even in her flashbacks, because
it's pretty impressive.
Even mounted on her chocobo duck,
yeah,
she still loses.
She loses every time
with her pinky knife.
Yeah, in her flashbacks, like
that duck is fast.
Oh yeah, technically speaking, the species of duck that she rides is the fastest animal in Alabasta.
Mm.
The second fastest animal is a subspecies of banana crocodile. That has like a like an F1 style like car, like the fins that they have on its nose and on its tail that are
get the fuck out,
that are also bananas.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, man, whatever.
Makes it more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
So Crocodile is like ready to get going and things are seeming dire. But then the phone rings in, like, his secret lair. And he's like, that's my guys outside who are informing me that things are, like, kicking off, by the way, Vivi. I'll answer this in front of you to be a dick. And he answers the phone, and over the phone, this is the shitty restaurant. And he's like, you bitch, it was you! And he flashes back to when he threw Mr. Three into the gator pit, and Mr. Three was like, I'm sorry that I failed. I understand why you tried to kill me. But, like, I never said that I, like, succeeded. And he's like, a common lie! Throw him to the gators! And then he's realizing, like, the other guy said, welcome to the shitty restaurant first. It was you the whole time. Who are you? Who is this? And he says, my name is Mr. Prince, and I'm beating the hell out of all your guys. And he's like, uh-oh! And you hear, like, a gunshot. And then a guy's like, I got him! I shot Mr. Prince! Please come outside and collect his body, Mr. Crocodile! And he's like, all right, that's what I like to hear. He hangs up the phone and he's like, fuck all of you. Fuck all of you who keep fucking up my plans. I'm out of here. Nico, Robin, let's get going. And she's like, call me by my fucking code name. What's wrong with you? And, and he's like, miss all Sunday. Fine. And they leave and he goes outside and he sees all of his guys have been beaten essentially to death. And there is a guy who just like just turned the corner. And then he like picks up one of his dudes like, who did this? And he's like, Mr. Prince, he made us say that that we got him, but it was a lie. He just left. And he's like, motherfucker, I'm going to go get this Mr. Prince. And he's like storming off. And then we get to see the flashback of Chopper turning into his big human form, beating the hell out of a bunch of guys, yelling, I'm Mr. Prince. If anyone asks, Mr. Prince did this. And now I am away, and none of you are allowed to follow me. So don't you follow me. And then he walks what I would call followable fast away.
Yeah.
Crocodile, like, turns the corner. And then Sanji, seeing Crocodile has left, walks into the casino. Because he was there the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
Chopper, once he has turned the corner, goes from being his giant form to being a tiny little guy.
Very cute.
And walks right by Crocodile, who is like, where the fuck is this guy? He was right there.
Yeah, he was.
The The amount of times that Crocodile gets got like this.
By some Bugs Bunny cartoon yeah. shit.
He's the most serious villain we've had yet, and they just Bugs Bunny his ass.
I love it. It's
yeah,
good.
Because he makes like no excuses. He's just like, no, I'm evil. Like, straight up.
I'm definitely a bad guy.
I am, yeah, like, I'm all about just like stealing all the money. I don't care about, you know, mass death, whatever, starvation. As long as I gain, who cares?
Yeah.
And then everyone's just like, wow, that's...
That's really, fucked up,
that's
man.
That's really mean.
Yeah, it is. It is really mean. Yeah.
And he's super serious, and then all of a sudden, you know, Bugs Bunny tactics, walk right by him.
Welcome to the shitty restaurant.
Also, the One Piece laughs. His is also very yeah. dumb.
Everyone, if you're a main character in One Piece, you can tell because you'll have a unique laugh where you'll be like, za 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 or something. Yeah. Obviously, it sounds more convincing when a voice actor actually cares about doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there you go.
But, like, his unique laugh is very... He's just evil.
Yeah.
There's not, like, a sense of levity to it.
There's no emotion in it. No, it's... In the anime, if I had the best impression I could do, it'd just be... It's that. Just no change in, like...
Fuck.
Like, yeah. How fast he's doing it, and, like, no, the tone, that's it. It's just...
So...
His mouth, like, barely moves. Like,
yeah.
It's very weird.
Sanji comes in, though. And reminds us that, like, he kicked a bunch of dinosaurs to death, like, 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
He stomps the shit out of all these giant alligators with, like, relative ease. And then Crocodile, when he, like, turns around and is like, fuck it, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And he, like, goes to, like, continue his plan. He also confirms to Nico Robin, it doesn't matter if they get the key. That's not the key. You think I'm giving away real keys like that? It's bullshit. It's a lie. They're going to drown down there because I set the self-destruct sequence on. And now the entire area is flooding. Dun, dun, dun. Dun. Yeah.
And then all but turns to the camera and it's just like, I'm very evil.
I'm straight up evil. There's not going to be a buggy turnaround for me. I'm just a bad guy. And then Sanji, having kicked all these alligators to death, or crocodiles, I guess, they get the key, and then, importantly, also a giant white ball, which then melts. And it's Mr. Three. He survived.
Oh.
I lived, bitch! And he's all desiccated because Crocodile, like, sucked all the water out of him before he threw him to the crocodiles. And he's like, I'm still alive. You'll never kill me. I'm the greatest. And Sanji's like, why don't you make a key for this cage before I kick you to death? And he's like, for you, anything. And once Luffy is free, he immediately goes outside and is like, Crocodile, I've come to beat the shit out of you. And Crocodile's like, and he starts going into an evil speech. And importantly, I think this evil speech was rehearsed. Because every time he gets into it, Luffy punches him in the face, and he's a sand person. So he just, like, disperses into sand because Luffy can't hit him. Can't hurt him, rather. And then that interrupts him, and he has to start the speech over. And every time he's like, you just don't understand, Straw. Understand, Straw Hat. It's not about... It's not about how you... And every single time.
I love that.
Until good. Eventually he's
That's
like...
That's a good bit.
Stop it! Okay? A fucking second!
That's good. That's
until
good.
Luffy is like, I've got him on the ropes now, I can tell. And so Crocodile impales him entirely with his golden pirate hook hand. And Luffy is like, oh, this is bad!
That'll do weakness. It. It's being Pointy stabbed. Parts. Yeah, it's not good.
And Crocodile is like, okay, I'm also going to suck a bunch of your water out, and you're bleeding quite a lot because you can't be stabbed in the body fully all the way through and lifted, and anything's good. And Luffy's like, yeah, I'm giving you one last chance to surrender. And he's like, that's very fun. And then he puts him into the sand and then buries him up to his neck and, like, packs the sand in all dense so he can't move. And he's like, you're going to bleed out here in the desert now. Goodbye. And he turns to walk away. He fucks off. And Luffy's like, I'm going to get you. You don't even know.
Coward.
To the end. To the end. I love it.
And then Miss All Sunday shows up. Nico Robin. And she's like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why are you doing this? And he's like, it's the right thing to do. It's for my friends. I'm going to kill his ass. I can do it. I know it. And she's like, you can't, though. And he's like, yes, I can. And she's like, you're interesting, I'll give you that. And so she uses her power, she digs him out, and then she leaves him. And then she gets on her F1 alligator monster, and she's like, I'm going to go to the... I still have a job to do. I'm still a bad guy.
Yeah.
And she fucks off. But she saved him first. And everyone else comes outside, and they're like, oof, Luffy, they really got... Well, they all fuck off as well, because they ran like right away. As Luffy went to go fight Crocodile, they're like, we have to get to the capital. And then one of the royal guards, the guy who's a falcon, shows up and sees that Luffy... is truly trying to protect this place, and he helps him. And he even flies Luffy to the battle later.
Mm.
Very nice stuff. Especially because Luffy now thinks, I know how to hit him. I know how to do it now. The Straw Hats, beside sans Luffy, all load up onto a giant crab that Chopper met.
Oh, wait, I want to guess to see if I know if they know how to beat him. To get him wet first?
Precisely.
I'm a big brain man.
Because you see, when he was when Luffy was all impaled and stuff,
yeah,
it also broke the water jug on his neck, and it got Crocodile's arm all wet. And when he grabbed his arm, like, I can lift myself off, he was able to actually grab his arm and grip it hard enough that Crocodile was like, ow, bitch, stop that. And yeah, so he's like, I know how to do it. The other Straw Hats get onto a giant crab that Chopper met. And
so I'm still not over the fact that Chopper can just speak all animal. That is such a useful plot device, because now they're riding giant enemy crabs.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems that he can only really connect with animals that are some flavor of weirdo, because the only way that this is not like a crab that's like domesticated. This is a wild crab that everyone knows if you find this crab in the desert, it's too fast to outrun and it will kill and eat you.
Yeah, the giant enemy crab. I did not stutter.
However, Nami was able to flash her tits at it, and then it was like, bet, get on here.
No way!
Yes.
Did she really flash her tits at the crab?
Yes.
Is that what got the crab on their side?
Yes.
I guess the crab is based, but I don't like that.
The desert out, you know, the animals? The camel, the crabs, they're just...
Importantly, you know, Chopper does make it known that the other crabs think that this crab is a freak as well.
Well, I mean, he has to be a fucking pervert.
Yeah. They all get onto the crab. Unfortunately, the main problem, that straight line that they need to take to get to the capital Alubarna in time, there's a river in the way, and this is a desert crab. It can't swim. But with the power of being flashed titties, it's going to run on the water. And they're like, yes! Oh my god! And then it starts to sink that pretty quickly.
Can't be real.
It wasn't. They sank.
There you go.
The crab immediately like was like, no! And then they're then they're now all almost drowning.
It speaks more that he tried anyway.
Yeah.
Like, through the power of Booba, I too can run on water.
But how will they make it across the river now, Tony?
How?
Well, they have some friends in this river, you see. Fellow disciples.
Oh, the Dugongs. Ah, it all ties back in.
It all ties back
wow.
in.
Wow.
Who take them all the way across, and then they call the Duck Squad. And the Duck Squad shows up. Remember her Chocobo Duck? There's a whole team of other ducks that each have their own unique, like, character designs. And
they're like a Sentai team.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's great. The Sentai Duck Squad.
Don't they have, like... Gurren Lagann sunglasses too and shit. Like, it's
hell yeah.
They each have their One Piece is great. Great character design. If like I know you need to get past the like, art style a bit, but I think it's really enjoyable.
But it's like that each one of these ducks is like pimped out like they were a lowrider, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty sick, I'm not saying, but it's also really funny.
That's good.
So they get to the capital. And all of the elite members of the Baroque Works are, like, outside of the capital to make sure that people, like, you know, the Straw Hats don't get in there beforehand and stop the whole rebellion. Because the rebellion's about to fucking happen. And everyone gets separated to go to, like, the different entrances of the place. And each of them meet up with and have to do battle with a different pair of Baroque Works elite agents. There's a lot of fucking shit that happens in this fight. The Alabasta final conflict is a lot. I'm not going to go into all of it, but there are a few things I have to touch upon. First of all, Usopp and Chopper fight Mr. Four and Miss All Christmas.
Mm.
She is a mole person. He has a baseball bat that he hits baseballs that are bombs at you. Oh, and wow. You know what's throwing the baseballs, Tony? A thing that has haunted me ever since it first came up. He has a big old gun on his back that's also a dog.
What?
They fed the gun. So first off, Chopper's like, I didn't know there was a gun devil fruit. And they're like, don't be stupid. We fed the gun a dog devil fruit.
What the fuck do you mean they fed the gun?
Great question.
Dr. Vegapunk came up with it. And so that can happen. An object can be imbued with a devil fruit. And Chopper all but turns to the camera and is like, I wonder how they did that. I hope you're not wondering, because we're not going to talk about it, ever. We're over 1,100 chapters in. It hasn't come up again how this happens.
Well, there you go.
It's come up again, though.
Yeah, there's another guy who has one. There's probably one or two more. God damn, it pisses me off. I want to know so bad.
That one's a sword, though.
That one's it's an elephant that's a sword. That's the next one that we
see. So much more reasonable.
Yeah, of course.
What the fuck do you mean the elephant is a sword? Wait, the sword is an elephant?
The sword is an elephant. Yes. Yeah.
All right, man. You guys get me into it, and then I slip again. It's like, okay.
You could make an elephant into a sword elephant if you fed an elephant the sword fruit.
But if there's a sword fruit.
But this is a sword that's been fed to elephant.
Yeah, which... Very how good. Do you feed a sword?
Well, we don't.
Dr. Know. Vegapunk did it.
He...
Who is the head science man of One Piece.
You know what? Just move on.
Yes, we're moving on.
Yeah.
Sanji fights Mr. Two Bon Clay. Mm. Sanji didn't get to meet Mr. Two, and I believe it's so that the initial encounter wouldn't end with Sanji revealing he's a virulent homophobe, generally. He immediately is like, who are you, you freak with makeup and all of this? And Mr. Two's like, whoa! The rest of your friends were really cool. And he's like, all right, well, maybe if they like you, I can like you. But get out of my way. I got a whole thing I need to do. And he's like, I actually need to kick you to death. And Sanji's like, kicking people to death is my specialty, actually.
And they have a cake fight?
And they have a big kicking fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because
his reaction is like, you're hating me for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
It's like,
no.
I'm about to kill you. Hate me for that.
Yeah.
But like, this is
I'm
just...
about to kill you. I personally was involved with the fomenting of this revolution by turning into the king and then like declaring to everybody like, I'm going to kill all the people. Ah, I'm so evil. Like, there's tons of reasons for you to not be on my side. Me being like who I am inside isn't who that, like, one of the reasons.
Just like real homophobes.
Yeah. Well,
and then Sanji basically has fair. Yeah. Let's fight. Like, yeah, let's do it. Like,
by the end of it, genuinely... Okama Kenpo, by the way, is like a combination of ballet and mantis-style kung fu.
Hell yeah.
And it's actually pretty sick. He's just wearing a hilarious outfit.
I love mantis-style.
No, it looks really silly, but then he hits a wall, and you're like... And Sanji's reaction...
is, oh, fuck. Because even Sanji is like, I don't know if I could do that by kicking that wall like that. So it's like, because he does ballet kicks, he kicks with the point of his toe, and it's a spear. It goes right through.
Yeah.
And he's like, that is fucked.
And he punched a perfect...
perfect round hole. Yeah.
In the side of a building.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And Sanji wasn't taking him seriously, and then he's like, oh.
Okay, then. And by the end of the fight, however, Mr. Two's like, go on then, finish me off. And Sanji's like, I've had a change of heart. Maybe all boobs aren't so bad.
Oh, man.
He's like, really? You're not going to do anything? And he's like, I regret doing that joke, actually. but Sanji's the homophobe here. So
that's on him, not you! But, you're just calling it how it is!
But Sanji's like, yeah. And then he doesn't finish him off, but he does like kick him unconscious. And he's like, so I'm not going to like, I won't kick you to death. I'll just kick you unconscious. Then he fucks off. And then we have Zoro and Nami, who are probably... aside from Luffy, the strongest person, and then the weakest person on the crew. And they are fighting Mr. One and his partner, who is Miss Doublefinger. And
Doublefinger.
They are the most dangerous members of the Baroque Works.
They're the assassin pair.
Yeah. Miss Doublefinger is a spike person. She can make spikes come from her entire body.
Mm.
She's got all the power. She's a better version of Lust from Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, okay.
Because she does the finger spear move, and it is equally unstoppable. Mm. Like, it is straight up, but she can do that from anywhere on her body. And Nami has to fight her. But luckily, Usopp made a weapon for her because she's like, you know, I can't just be relying on you guys all the time. And he messed with her staff to make the climate tact. And on one of them, if you swing it, it makes like bubbles of cold air. One of them makes bubbles of hot air. And he tells her all these different moves that he like gives her like an instruction booklet of like, you know, this is real technology here. And like there's like weapon modes and everything. But they're not ready by the time they get to Alabasta. And he did not inform her they weren't ready. They mostly do like dumb little like party tricks. Like they make like little fountains come up and like
okay.
little birds on like extending arms. However, with her knowledge of weather and the ability to make little bubbles of hot and cold air, she is able to eventually turn this into hitting her with lightning.
Oh man, that's a pretty good move.
Nami is extremely, extremely blessed in this particular fight. And she uses her intelligence and her weather knowledge, all of her navigatorly abilities, to win.
And she is, like, very acrobatic and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
no, she's...
But she can't, like, hit you really hard or anything. But she can, like, flip around and shit.
Which is useful, because Miss Doublefinger would have just straight up executed her otherwise. That's what she was after. Mr. One, however, is fighting Zoro, and Mr. One has the Blade Fruit power.
Mm.
His entire body is blades, which means all of him is metal hard.
Mm.
And Zoro is like, I have just had like 3 arcs in a row where me not being able to cut through metal has really fucked me up. I guess I have to figure it out or die now. And Mr. One's like, you're probably going to die. Not to be a dick, you're going to die. And he does like super cool kung fu moves where his body is like the edges of his body is turning into blades. And he cuts Zoro the fuck up.
Oh, man.
And knocks him into a building, and then he's, like, cutting all the supports out of the building, and Zoro has a flashback to his sensei, who is telling him, like, what real mastery of a sword is being able to cut what you want to cut and not cut what you don't want to cut. And he shows Zoro, like, as he, like, moves his sword as fast as he can, it hits a piece of paper, and it just folds the paper. It doesn't cut through it. And then he gently moves his sword down, and it cuts through the stone beneath. And Zoro's like, that's what I have to do. I have to find it. He looks within himself. And as the building is falling on him, Mr. One's like, okay, he's dead now. I cut him to pieces and then I dropped a building on him. But then as the smoke clears, Zoro is standing there. No rubble hit him because he could hear the voice of all things, the breath of the stones of the building, the breath of the iron in his sword, the breath of the ground. And he was able to just step where the stones wouldn't fall. And he pulls out his sword and he cuts down Mr. One.
Oh, wow.
This is the first thing where I'm concrete saying this is the introduction
of hockey. Yeah, I was going to say he just did some jutsu shit. Yeah.
That's literally observation hockey, feeling like the world around you, and like armament hockey, being able to cut through metal is like a thing. And Zoro is then like, I hope I don't need to do that again. I have like 2 ounces of blood left in my body. And then he runs off to go do his... to go continue the actual fight. The war, I guess. The rebellion. Yeah. Luffy goes to fight Crocodile. And he's like, round 2, bitch. And he's got like a big old barrel of water on his back. And every time that he goes to punch him, he like sprays down his fist first and... bow! Hits Crocodile. And Crocodile's like, okay, so you figured it out. However... it's not going to help you that much because he can still desiccate and remove water.
Yeah.
And so they have a big old fight until eventually Luffy just is like, well, if you're going to just punch the barrel and break it so it leaks, I'll just drink all the water so it's inside me. And so he drinks it and he's like, now I'm water, Luffy. And he's just got like a big cartoony, like inflated belly of water that's leaking because he has a hole in him still from the hook.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. He's
cartoon style.
Yeah. And Crocodile is like, that's very cute. However, I'm a serious bad guy. And then he grabs him with his desiccating hand and is like, I'm going to take all the water out of you instantaneously now. And Luffy, thinking quickly, spits all of the water straight up in a giant blob. And then he gets completely dried out, desiccated, and dropped into the desert. And he like, all slow. Like
that's funny, like farming a sheet, yeah.
Yeah, and Crocodile is like, okay, Miss All Sunday, Nico Robin, and the King, who he has captured. He's like, okay, now it's time for the actual evil plan stuff to go on. We're going to go into the catacombs now. And as he leaves, the water falls back down and hits Luffy, and he's rehydrated, and he's like, all right, third time's the charm. I'm going to get him this time. And he chases him down into the catacombs, and here is where Crocodile reveals the plan, Project Utopia, to the king. He's like, you know how, like, the I was a great pirate and then the government came and said, either you work for us or we'll kill you. And then now I work for the government. And he's like, yeah, I hate the government so damn bad. And I'm pretty sure that I could make a utopian country. But I can't have, I mean, one, most countries already have, like, rulers and people in them, which is a pain in the ass. And then on top of that, the government just doesn't let you make a utopia country that's not under their control. So, you know, I need something that lets me be independent to run my utopia, which is why I came here to Alabasta. One, you're a desert. I can take over your country like nothing. It's easy. Two, there's an ancient weapon beneath the capital here in these catacombs. The ancient weapon, Pluton. A giant warship that from 800 years ago, capable of destroying an entire island with only one cannon blast.
Okay, so hold up. Hold the phone real quick. Yeah. We're pretty late into the episode, but I'm going to have to take a moment here to bring something up here. You had mentioned that you believe One Piece is actually sci-fi.
Yes.
And now you're making a convincing argument by just throwing out this random fact that from the prehistory, or there's just a giant, like, is it a ship or a spaceship?
So nobody knows what it looks like or what it is. They know it is a ship with cannons that can destroy islands.
Supposedly.
That sounds like a spaceship to me.
That's one of the great weapons.
But whatever, yeah.
That's one of the great weapons of the ancient world. How curious, right?
How fucking curious, yeah.
So he's like, this is like my whole plan. I need that ship because once I have that, I can basically point it at the government, say, leave me alone. And I get to be my own power. I'm going to take over your country once I get rid of you. And also, I'm going to get rid of those rebels up there because it turns out, I guess all the countries have like an evil Bowser Tower with a cannon pointed at, like directly at the citizenry, with like a city-destroying bomb in them. God because bless. He also has one that he has taken over.
Just being ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah. And this is also why Nico Robin is part of this plan. That's why she's Miss All Sunday. Her powers are pretty good, but like a lot of other people have really good powers too. What she's important about is down in the catacombs, they believe that Pluton is down there, but more importantly, the specific location of Pluton, if it's not there, is written on the Poneglyph. And the Poneglyph is a giant stone block made by people many hundreds of years ago, that is apparently indestructible by modern means, and on it will be recorded secret information in a language that only those with the greatest mastery of forbidden lore can read.
Mm.
And Nico Robin is such a person.
Mm. Forbidden lore.
And he's like, do you know where the weapon is, King? And he's like, no. When they made me king, like, my dad brought me down here and showed me the Poneglyph, but I can't read that shit, and I certainly don't know if there's like a giant ship or anything down there. I would have brought it out to shoot at you otherwise. And he's like, that checks out. What's it say, Robin? And she starts reading off like a bunch of like historical things of like, this guy left this office on this day. The crops on this day were really bad. And the rain on this day was like this. And he's like, yada, yada, yada. Get me to the part with my giant like weapon. And she's like, there is nothing about a weapon on this thing. And he's like, you're fucking kidding me. And she's like, I am not kidding you. This is a historical document. I'm very interested in it, and I would like to finish reading it, however. And he's like, well, go fuck yourself. That was the whole point of this. I don't care if you want to read it. You're pointless now. All of this has been made redundant. I'm just going to take over this country regular style. And that is when Luffy shows up like, I didn't hear no bell.
God bless.
And Crocodile's like, you don't even have any water anymore. You're basically done. And then Luffy punches him in the face, because the power to hit Crocodile was inside of him all along. Blood! I've been bleeding this whole time from my gaping chest wound, and I just covered my fists in it. Now put up your goddamn dukes, Crocodile! And Crocodile, sick of this shit.
Yeah, convincingly so.
Yeah.
It's just like, I finally get to do my villain speech, and then it gets ruined because what I wanted wasn't on the thing, and now you showed up and hit me in the face, you little shit. Yeah.
So he pulls the gold plating off of the actual hook bit end of his hook hand.
Oh, man.
Revealing a metal regular hook that is inundated with poison, venom from a scorpion that will paralyze you within minutes. And Luffy is like, I ain't scared of you. He goes to punch him again. He hits him in the face, but Crocodile like gets his arm with the hook. And he's like, all right, well, I've got you now. You're done. And Luffy is like, I can't feel my arm. That's good. I needed another source of blood for my fists. And keeps beating the shit out of Crocodile while his body is going numb. And Crocodile in his head is like, why are you continuing on? And the final fight is essentially Luffy beats the hell out of him so bad, he launches him up through the catacombs, through the castle, and straight up into the sky, where Crocodile presumably bursts with all of the moisture that he has absorbed.
Oh, man.
Because a massive rain comes over Alabasta.
Aww.
And all of the rebels stop fighting. And the truth has come out because Vivi has finally reached the rebel leader and has explained to them everything that's going on. And also, importantly, I didn't mention it before because it's not that big a deal. She's childhood friends with the leader of the rebellion.
Yeah, you had foreshadowed that. Yeah. You didn't bring it up yet.
He is one of the many people who she has lost fights against. She loves it. Fortunately for her, every time she loses a fight, she gets another ally.
Wholesome.
The rebellion has ended, and Crocodile has been defeated, but the Marines are still there. Because there was like a rebellion, but also Smoker was like on their tail the whole time. But he tells all the Marines, let the Straw Hats go. All the Straw Hats essentially pass out in the streets from their very difficult fight, and the Marines are like, oh, let's get them. And Smoker is like, there's nothing to see here, boys. Turn around.
Aw, wholesome. He has to catch him fair and square.
He's got to catch him fair and square. When all things are said and done, the Straw Hats are brought into the royal capital to rest and recuperate. And Smoker goes back to his ship where the word comes in that Crocodile has been arrested. But the government doesn't want the world to know that pirates are responsible for stopping all of this. So, Smoker and his Lieutenant Tashigi are being given the credit, and to that end, they're being given a promotion.
Oh.
Which means that they need to return to the capital. Well, the base that they need to return.
Yeah.
And he's like, but we didn't do that. In fact, we technically committed treason because we assisted them in what they were doing against a guy who legally, like, we were supposed to be on the side of. Crocodile works for the government. We were supposed to help him. And they're like, well, the government's covering it up, and you guys are going to get promotions whether you like it or not. And Smoker's like, but if I have to go accept my promotion, I can't chase Straw Hat anymore.
That's awesome.
Thematically, however, this is the end of the second part, and everything that is set up begins to be paid off. Because Smoker started chasing them, believing them to be bad, and like they're pirates, and I need to do my duty. But in the course of doing his duty and chasing them, he found them to be technically on the right side of this. And the government was revealed to be the corrupt ones.
And then compounding that, that allowed him to fail upwards.
In fact, it forced him to fail.
It forced him. He didn't even want to do it.
He didn't.
Some say his heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Great child.
That's awesome. Maybe all pirates aren't the same.
God bless. It's a Christmas miracle.
Presumably at this point, this is when all of the Baroque Works people get arrested by the Marines and sent to super prison, which we'll get to go see later. And then that's when we get to meet all of them again.
Okay.
Really do be super prison.
Super jail.
Yeah. Luffy ends up needing to be asleep for 3 days to nurse his impalement, poisoning, and multiple desiccation wounds. While everyone else just sort of parties around and, well, enjoys their time there. They're not partying. Most of them are very dying. At the end of the 3 days, they feast and everybody's having such a great time. And everyone's like, these pirates aren't so bad. But, you know, they gotta go. The Marines aren't gonna wait for them forever. Like, they're not gonna, like, eventually they're gonna storm this place because they know we're being harbored.
Mm-hmm.
And then your king could be, like, arrested. And that would be a whole fucking thing. And Vivi is like, but we're friends now. And Luffy is like, well, do you want to be a fucking pirate? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a pirate crew that's leaving here in just a few hours. So if you want to come, we're leaving in a couple hours. And she's like, I think I might take you up on that. And Luffy is like, do what you will. I trust in your judgment. And they go to leave, and Vivi comes out to meet them. She rides her duck out there as if she's like escaping the castle, and all of her guards are chasing her like, no, you can't go be a pirate. And it's just to bid them farewell. She has to be a princess. The place where she can do the most good is here. She can't go be a pirate with you guys. And Luffy is kind of like, I understand. Truly, you are one of our Nakama. And they undo the bandages because we didn't get to see the symbol on their arm. And they all raise their left arm because this is the symbol of our friendship. The thing that we put on all of us so that Bon Clay couldn't impersonate all of us. This is what it means. We are allies. And we're really friends.
And it hits like extra hard because it's like they've sailed off, so this like now they got eyes on them or something.
Yeah.
So they can't like acknowledge her.
Yeah.
As like, you know, we're friends. Like we're she's waving to us, you know, friendly. Mm-hmm. And so they just do they
all turn their back.
Yeah, they do the anime, like turn around and then they put their fist up with the symbol, you know.
Aww.
Yeah.
And then she's like, she does, you know.
Yeah.
Aww.
Wholesome. Her duck does it too.
Oh, the duck has one?
Yeah. I
forgot. Can the guy turn into the duck?
Maybe.
Oh, man. It's dangerous power.
And they're like, that was good. This was a good arc. Alabasta was fun. Fighting all those guys, this was good. And then they all turn around, and Nico Robin is on their boat like, hey, guys! I heard that you had an open position on your pirate crew. And they're like, you're a bad guy. And she's like, we're pirates. We're all bad guys. I put away my evil Dolly Parton outfit. I'm just in a regular cowboy slut outfit now.
She really does wear a cowboy slut outfit. That is what that is.
I want to be one of you guys. And Luffy is like, no, no, wait. She's cool.
She is cool.
And that is the end of the Alabasta arc.
Yay, roll credits.
Yeah.
It's good. It's Kevin had his point. You know, if you make it to, what was it, the island, the Bounty Island or whatever.
What are you talking about?
In the Grand Line, where it's the one island.
Oh yeah, the Whiskey Peak.
Yeah, Whiskey Peak. Okay. You said about if you make it to there, you know, like, and then you're not into it. Then
if you get through Arlong and you're not into it at all, then, like, fair play, you don't have to read One Piece. If you make it through Alabasta and you're not completely sold, then like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because that's my opinion. It's just, like, if you get into Alabasta and you're just not, like, fully taking you in, then it's hard to pitch from there, you know? Like, it might just not be for you.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like,
yeah. You know, the end of the part one of One Piece that I consider for Arlong and like getting there is like everything that's established there is built off of further, where we have more interesting creatures, more lore of like the islands that we get to. We get like expansion of like the kinds of things that devil fruits can do and like the kind of powers that people can have, and also the payoffs of like how involved in the government can like goodness be, how much can pirates be involved without being like just plunderers, and like the emotional arcs of like the friendship that they extend to everybody, and the actual like perspective of like what does it mean to be a pirate, what does it mean to be a marine, what does it mean to like be a good person. All of these are expanded upon from Arlong to Alabasta, and I feel like that's exactly what a part two should be. It's everything getting expanded on and setting the stage for even larger things. Because once Nico Robin was revealed, like with the ancient weapons and everything, and reading the poneglyphs, it became clear that like not only is this about pirates and the government and marines, there's an entire like world of mystery here that people are digging into, and it's going to matter. People are looking for things like the ancient weapons.
And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the energy of this content, go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go and follow me on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. I'd like to give a special thanks to our aspiring Magus, Uncle Matty, our first Patreon supporter, and a super thanks to our fellow Squires on the Patreon, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Goblino, The Greater Good Boy, and my mom.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. One last thing to bring up. I'm going to be taking a bit of a break from the One Piece breakdowns for a little bit. I think next time we're going to be talking about some D&D stuff. Specifically, we got Mario on something.
I'm going to give a brief history of Vecna, and just because it'll be around that time, I'll tie it into Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And with that, have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.